Next item on the agenda, concerning requirements for all pound nets and similar fixed fishing devices that are licensed and fished in Virginia waters east of Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel to be equipped with modified leaders described in draft chapter 4B, said sequence pertaining to the license of fixed fishing devices. Mr. Gillingham, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Commissioners.
This letter we received with only one comment that was sent out with your packet and then you see the actual.
I see Dr. Springle's out there.
And Mr. Springle is here.
Excuse me.
Okay, just briefly, Mike, in terms of background, I mentioned it last month when we requested public hearing. This is really an outgrowth of your meeting back in March when you did a site review for two new pound net licenses, and one of the requirements that you placed upon that those two permits once you granted them was that they would have to comply with the existing turtle regulations that were in effect west of the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel. Here's a map of this regulated area, and what we're talking about, that's the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel right there. It goes up to about Cherrystone Creek, across and up, that's Mobjack Bay, comes up to the bridges on the river tributaries. That's what's called Regulated Area 1. Regulated Area 2 is this single patch area above, and then the area west of the Colerags line at the mouth of the bay and up to the Chesapeake Bay Bridge. And that's, again, Regulated Area 2. This was done totally for turtle conservation. It had nothing to do with bottlenose dolphins. In Regulated Area 1, from May through July 15th, fishermen had the option of either removing their pound net leader, which essentially they're not catching, or they can use this modified leader. And I've got some pictures of that, so I'll didn't leave you in the dark there, but I think this is better to give you an idea first. They also defined offshore pound nets and inshore pound nets. Offshore nets, essentially deep water nets. The inshore definition, if they set within 10 feet of mean low water, that first beginning part of the lead. Might also mention that there was a two-year experiment between 2000 that ran 2004-2005, where they compared the modified leader to the standard leader. The first year they had a problem in that they had to get a permit in case there were any takes. They had a problem in that they caught a loggerhead turtle and didn't have a permit to take that. So that. The first year was kind of short-circuited. The second year was pretty impressive. They stiffened the stringers for 2005. And in 2005, they observed 15 takes in the unmodified leader and zero in the modified leaders. And these weren't just animals they could see on the surface. They actually trained a person to run up and down with side-scan sonar, even used a dead turtle for them to practice on, so they could recognize them, and they would run these nets a couple times a day to see if there were any turtles impinged upon them. The time closure, again, for turtles, they looked at the stranding data, and that's when the peak strands occurred. So the whole, my point here is this was done for turtles, the time of year, the location, it was turtle stranding data. Here's, most of you probably know what a pound net looks like, your typical pound net. This is the lead from this point to that end. In code, they can be up to 1,200 feet long. Generally, the bulk of the net is in this lead. It's 1,000 feet maybe even more. And this is a relatively small portion of the overall footprint of the net. The side view, this is what your typical lead looks like. It's same mesh, top to bottom. This modified leader, the bottom third is a mesh 8 inches or less, and then you've got a series of what's called stringers up to the surface and above the water. Again, this is hard lay rope. It's very stiff, and they're at least 2 feet apart. Okay, the NIMS approved leader design is designed is in the code of the Federal Register, and
Wonders of technology.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rob.
Yeah, thanks, Rob. Some of these didn't come out as good as possible because it didn't have an electronic version. Again, this is what I mentioned when we were looking at the map. This is May 6th through July 15th. They're required to use the modified leader or remove their leader altogether. And if they choose to use a modified leader in this regulated Area 1, it during the time period for turtles, it has to comply with the design, which is key in what you'll see. Because of that, what staff is proposing in the regulation identically mirrors what's required by the federal rule. And in that federal rule, they must call NIMS at least 72 hours before deployment, so it can be seen on dry ground. They'll set up a meeting, and usually they're there for the deployment. The modified leader must be affixed to or resting on the seafloor. Bottom mesh portion must be 8 inches or less. Mesh portion can be no more than one-third the water depth. Mesh is held in place by vertical lines that extend to the top. Vertical lines are this hard lay line with a stiffness equivalent to 5/16 diameter line composed of polyester wrapped around a blend of polypropylene or polyethylene containing approximately 42 visible twists of strands per foot. Obviously, this is a type of readily available commercial.
I was going to say, because if you think that we're going to check the specifications
exactly.
of that.
But that you can't just say, GM maker of this rope type. Moving on, where are we bottlenose dolphin? We know that there's a number of management units up and down the coast. One of the terms you often hear for each management unit is the PBR. That's the potential biological removal rate. It's essentially the growth rate of the population times the population size. So the bigger the population, the larger potential removal rate, or the numbers of individuals to have you at a static population. What we see is it changes with the season. Primarily, we see the northern migratory group in our area and on up the coast during the warm months of the year. In the wintertime, it gets a little more dicey because several of these stocks are mixed, and we can see them all. The good news is the plan does seem to be working because the observed takes has gone down, and we're well below the PBR for the northern migratory stock and the southern migratory stock are the two we primarily see in this area. However, when I get to the goals of the plan, the goal isn't just to stay below the potential biological removal rate. The other fly in the ointment is at the last take reduction team meeting, we were presented with some new data. They've suspected and pretty well known that there's smaller stocks within the sounds as you go south that pretty much stay in that sound. They do move out at times and intermingle, but they are a unique stock. And through a combination of photo tagging, and I think it's the captured the animal and actually tagged some of them and actually put pinger tags on them, they have discovered that this relatively small stock here that's called the Northern North Carolina Estuarine Stock does in fact move out of the Sound, and in the period from July to October has been observed up and moving into Chesapeake Bay. Do they move even farther into the bay? Probably so. Not all the animals are tagged, and it's a relatively small stock. This is particularly important because its associated potential biological removal rate is in the neighborhood of a handful, 8 to 12 animals, because the population size is so much smaller. It's roughly a tenth the size of either the northern or the southern stock. So any takes of this animal are considered very significant. And here's the goals of the plan. And you have both a short-term goal and a long-term goal. The short-term goal is reduce the serious injury and mortality of coastal bottlenose dolphins incidental to commercial fishing to below PBR within 6 months of the plan's implementation. But the long-term goal is not just stay below the PBR and you're fine. Is to reduce serious injury and mortality of the coastal bottlenose dolphins incidental to commercial fishing within 5 years of the plan's implementation to a insignificant levels approaching zero mortality. And that's where, as this very large take reduction team, with talk about the various user groups at the table, conservation groups, the agencies, the fishermen, you know, you can see they're butting heads. How low can you go, and what does one group have to give up to get as near to zero as another group would think that maybe you should go? The other piece of information is, and this has been presented to you before, is some of the stranding and disentanglement data that's been collected by the Virginia stranding team. And some people have said, and the good news, again, is entanglements with bottlenose dolphin observed are very rare events. And it's quite possible some fishermen have never seen a dolphin entangled in their gear. But there are no official observers on any of these pound net trips that we're talking about in the lower bay. Yet, and a lot of it's because of the close proximity to a big population center. Stranding team's gotten calls. They just happened to have been out in the area. There's mammal watching trips. They have been observed in the nets. They've been removed from the nets. They've been found dead. This is a necropsy. A necropsy is the equivalent to a human autopsy. And we all know, if you watch any television at all these crime scene investigations, technology's come a long way. So just for someone to say, you just think it was a pound net because it washed up on the beach. There's a lot more that goes into this. When you look at the stranding data, disentanglement, this twisted line mark characteristic of pound nets, it's more than just because pound nets were in the area. It is a pretty characteristic mark that's left on the animal. What I wanted to show you with this slide is the time of the year when we see these strands or actual entanglements or dead removals. It is the May through September. Also, compare these two slides. These observations are just this very small handful of pound nets that exist at the very mouth of the bay. This set of observations, and those five right up here, looks like you had a maximum of 7 animals during May throughout the rest of the bay. We know from law enforcement, in fact, I think it was the third week in August, they told us that there were a total of 59 pound nets being fished, actively fished. And the number varies. Different fishermen set, fish a pound net, pull the pound net. Point is, this is a pretty hotbed of interaction. Even when you look on a coast-wide basis and compare it to other observed takes of along the Atlantic coast. This is the same data, but now it's plotted by year. Unfortunately, we haven't seen a decrease in these numbers as the plan has progressed, but pound nets haven't changed the way they fish. It's really been gill nets that have been impacted during the course of this plan. Is there anything we'll attest? I mean, there are mesh restrictions, proximity rules, any number of things that have been done to try to reduce the lethal interaction with gill nets. It's the same information, just in total numbers. Again, just the Virginia Beach total, and these are animals washed up with the characteristic marks, disentangled alive and removed dead. Total 62. For the remainder of Virginia waters, it's 14. Same data, probably. The other piece of information we have today, and was shared to the take reduction team last month, is a study that's been conducted by Susan Barco and Mark Swingle, where they actually fished with these pound net fishermen, got them to employ this, we'll call it modified or experimental leader, which already have shown you detailed how it's set up. And it was a 2-year study, but the actual experimental leader was only employed for 1 year. In 2007, they just looked at the catch of all nets and try to get an idea of variability between nets, between days. And as anyone who's fished or seen a pound net can tell you, they're highly variable on a daily basis. These were the 3 net locations. This is one of the ones I apologize for because it's kind of fuzzy, but it gives you an idea. It's hands-on. They're taking a sample of the catch as it comes on board. This is a large volume fishery. It's still, a lot of it is done by hand. You don't see the people that are working and pulling the net by hand. This is a mechanical device. It's just a big dip net that's hydraulic assisted. It'll kind of go into the bunted up net and just scoop up a bunch of fish and dump them out. And there I think they're just getting a bucket sample. Large bucket. I'm not going to belabor what went on. Mark is here. He can answer specific questions. Really what you want to hear now, what were the findings? The experimental leader did not reduce the catch of marketable finfish. Even statistically, the catch of Spanish mackerel was increased while the catch of rays was decreased. The Seafood Council might not want to hear that, but the fishermen, by and large, don't have a market for these things, and they're just as happy to let them pass on through. This isn't something that came out of the study, but it's probably one question you have concerning what's the cost of the net. Well, the anecdotal information that we've got, because we do have some fishermen that have had that have fished this in regulated Area 1, is they feel it costs a little bit more to rig up the modified leader, primarily because that really stiff rope was very expensive per foot, but it's not much greater. But the stringers are actually easier to maintain and clean. So it sounds like there's a time saving. The commissioner has received a letter from NIMS, and it contained the recommendations of the take reduction team. And I know I did this on purpose. Here's the same map again. Again, here's regulated Area 1. Here's the area that we're talking about today is the waters, Virginia waters, east of the bridge tunnel. Now, what the take reduction team's recommendation was to extend regulated Area 1 to include waters east of the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel. In these areas and the existing Area 1, modified leaders would be required year-round of the offshore nets. There was also discussion about redefining what an inshore net, because they felt some of these nets that made, that qualified as inshore nets, even though they began within 10 feet of mean low water, it was such a steep bank that by the time they got out to the deep end of it, they were concerned about potential interaction with bottlenose dolphin and as well as turtles. And they, of course, also would require that pound net inspections occur on all offshore nets in the new regulated area one as well. Again, here's the area we're talking about. Existing regulated area one, they would move to extend area one into all these waters. One of the things that you can see from both the stranding data and the recommendations from the take reduction team is, and what exists currently for sea turtles, is what time of year, the seasonal requirements, if you move for this modified leader system. Again, May 6th through July 15th is for turtles. The stranding data certainly shows that numbers of the animals interact lethally with the gear May through September. Pound nets are set as early as March and fished at least until October. If you recall, that northern North Carolina estuarine stock moves into our area between July through October. And finally, the bottlenose take reduction team recommended a year-round closure. One final consideration, and you'll see in the regulation of that staff has included, is recently four new fixed fishing gear licenses, in this case it was a fish bite net, were issued for locations in the Lower Bay off Cape Henry. These, even though they're fixed gear, this is something that's currently not under your site review. But actually, a bite net can look, particularly for a turtle or a bottlenose dolphin, identical to a pound net. They're limited in code to 1,200 feet. They could have a leader that looks identical to a pound net leader. The only real difference, if you read the definition, is they're constructed with hoops and maybe on the bottom or maybe floated up in the water column somewhere. Actually, if they were sunk below the surface, they would even be more lethal for turtles than that.
Aren't they even utilized, maybe not in certain fisheries, but to catch snapping turtles, small hoop or fight nets are used in that fishery?
I talked to a number of law enforcement officers about this. Oh, yeah, I'm familiar, but it's way up the rivers. It's where we have seen them are way up in the rivers for catfish, maybe for turtles. They're not, at least in recent time here, it doesn't seem like they're typically used in deep water situations. But they certainly could be adapted to it if there was an economic incentive somehow.
And they're being used.
And perhaps these are just there to save space or save their location. But
not if they're anchoring them down and putting bait in them.
Okay. It sounds like you're privy to more information on the night.
Got them up my creek.
Okay. Well, staff has reviewed the information from the Virginia Aquarium Stranding Team's program report, the existing requirements for the pound nets to use modified leader, found in 50 Code of the Federal Register Part 223, the results of the Virginia Aquarium and Marine Science Center, investigating the effects of alternative leaders on the catch of fish and pound nets, and the concerns of the bottlenose take reduction team for the conservation of bottlenose dolphin. As a result, staff has added subsection D to 4 BAC 20-20-30 in the draft regulation in your packet. We would suggest that whatever you do, any requirements you make, you give fishermen the opportunity, time to modify their gear, and that's one reason to do it now. Their fishing season is pretty much at an end, and to let them know as soon as possible if they need to modify for next year and when that date might be. As I mentioned, as I handed out the blue paper, we've only received one written comment on this, and that's in your packet. The blue paper from the Virginia Aquarium. Finally, the staff recommends adoption of draft regulation 4BAC 20-20-30 2020-10, which would require any fixed fishing device, including but not limited to pound net and pike net gear, licensed and fished in Virginia tidal waters located east of the Chesapeake Bay Bridge and tunnel, to use a modified leader as defined in draft regulation 4 back 20-20-20. In addition, it shall be the responsibility of the licensee of any fixed fishing device to contact the Virginia Marine Patrol and the National Marine Fisheries Service at least 72 hours before any modified leader is to be deployed for an inspection of the leader design. I'll try to answer any questions you may have.
Do you have patrol in that document or Virginia Marine Police?
As soon as I said it, I knew I had the incorrect
modify term. That because I didn't see it.
It says police.
It does? Okay. It's in the back of my mind. So got it now. Okay. Questions for Mr. Gillingham? Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Louis, thanks for that presentation. I'm looking at the copy, I guess, that we have of the letter from the service from the Southeast Regional Office, as well as the public comment letter that we have. We did not advertise today to take any actions west of the Bay Bridge Tunnel.
Exactly.
And would be precluded from doing that at this time. But is it your understanding that the service intends to move forward with rulemaking? West of the Bay Bridge Tunnel?
It's my impression they are going to move forward and evaluate all the TRT's recommendations. They're going to do an environmental assessment, each and every one of them that will look at and determine whether or not they want to proceed with them. It's clear to me that this is the most sensitive area by far. And however, that their time horizon, you're talking 18 months to 2 years at minimum, before they are able to have an actual rulemaking change take place. Because it involves an existing regulation that they have in place for turtles, plus bottlenose dolphin, they're not exactly sure how they're going to move it along. I know they're going to pursue it, and what they'll actually, what NIPS will finally recommend, I guess.
Further questions? Thank you, Louis. Anyone in the audience in support of this regulation wishes to be heard? Yes, sir. Good to see you.
Chairman and commissioners, thank you. My name is Mark Swingle. I'm with the Virginia Aquarium and Marine Science Center. And Louis did a good job here presenting the information. I think we've shared this with you before as well, so I don't have a lot to add. I did want to respectfully disagree a little bit with one of the comments, and that was that I think what we heard in March when we discussed this was I think what you all agreed to was to address a year-round requirement east of the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel, which you're doing today, because that really doesn't make much sense for bottlenose dolphins to look at a seasonal requirement that exists and that was originally created for the sea turtle interaction rule. And as you'll probably see from the letter that I've submitted to you guys today, we are recommending, as the bottlenose dolphin TRT is also recommending, that you consider extending the year-round requirement to regulated area, the current regulated area 1, where the sea turtle requirement is currently now ends on July 15th. There's several reasons for this. One, there are bottlenose dolphin interactions in that part of the bay. We have documented them, and we do think it's a serious issue. And bottlenose dolphins certainly are around throughout the fishing season of the pound net fishery. In addition to that, we have seen an increase in sea turtle interactions in that area following the end of the July 15th date, when some of the gear has been switched back over again. We have seen interactions increase. In fact, it was to the level this year that the National Marine Fisheries Service sent down an inspection team late in the season to try to get at why we were seeing an increase in strandings in this area, which again has a seasonal requirement for this new modified leader. but it does end on July 15th, and some of the gear is switched out at that time. So those are the reasons why we are essentially echoing the Bottlenose Dolphin TRT's request that you look at this. And I know you've heard that it may take several years for them to go forward with this. And I would only say that there are a number of measures in the Bottlenose Dolphin Take Reduction Plan that echo some regulations that exist within states. They're codified in the plan in that the plan wants to document that these have happened. Essentially, the plan and the stakeholders in the plan take credit for a reduction in takes of protected species, in this case bottlenose dolphins, but also potentially sea turtles as well. So we do think it's a really important step for you to take. We'd certainly like for you to consider it. Clearly, the folks that are fishing in that area right now already own this type of gear if they're fishing in that first 40% of their season, because it's required in regulated area one. So it's not something new for these fishermen. They already know this regulation, and for those that are fishing in the first of the season, they already have this gear. So it certainly is from that perspective something that is not unfamiliar to these folks. The last point I wanted to make was that, and I'm really sorry that he's not able to be here today, but one of the most impactful statements that we heard at the Take Reduction Team meeting this in September was from a pound net fisherman on the Eastern Shore by the name of Kenneth Heath. And Mr. Heath is very instrumental in all of the things that we've been talking about, because he actually was the one who originally conceived of this design that we're calling the modified or experimental leader. It was his design, it's his idea. And I think that goes a long way towards saying how not only has this process has worked with the fishermen to try to get at a solution to these interactions with protected species, but in our opinion, that's the way things ought to work. And as a result of that, and the fact that, you know, the results that you've seen from the experiment that we did, we feel like this is an effective solution to this problem. And we certainly would not like to see us wait around for a couple of years to make a move that seems to make sense for both protected species and certainly shouldn't have an effect on the fishery if, in fact, this gear fishes equally well as it seems to do. So Mr. Heath is not here today, but his statement to the TRT at the meeting was that he actually supported this idea of requiring the use of this gear throughout the season, throughout the fishing season. He has personally seen how the traditional gear interacts with, in particular, sea turtles in his area, and he believes that this is a rational move to go forward with these protections that the fishery and the fishermen can live with. So I submit that to you. Again, I'm sorry that he's not here to say these words himself, but I believe that what he said to the TRT was very impactful, and anytime you get a fisherman suggesting a modification and suggesting something that they believe will work and will solve a problem like this, we think it's a very very important thing to be heard.
Thank you. Any questions? Thank you, Mark. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Anyone else in the audience in support of this? Anyone in the audience in opposition to this plan? If not, the matter is before the commission. Mr. Bowden?
I'm really surprised that, knowing that I had a take over the years, that the take team had considered this earlier. I really am surprised at that. I don't want to, because they've been very active against the gill hunters. I mean, on Eastern Shore, we've had one take in 15 years, and they've lumped us in, and with everyone else. I think this is a good idea, and I said so back in March when we were doing this gentleman's pound net tournament. If you're going to have to make the expenditure, why not use it all year round? Why change? If it's been documented to catch just as many fish, there's really no need to have two different types of gear. So I move that we accept staff recommendation.
Is there a second to the motion? Second by Mr. Robbins. Further discussion? I will. Go ahead.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I would just suggest that on the second question, that is the one that's been raised through the Take Reduction Team letter, and the comments we received, I would suggest that perhaps we ask staff to contact the Southeast office and see what their expectation is regarding rulemaking, and perhaps come back to us at the November meeting and discuss that further.
Do you have that, Mr. Travelstead? Thanks.
I will say one thing.
Yes, Mr. Bowden.
You've got to understand two things. Turtles are considered threatened or endangered. That's one set of rules completely different. Colonized officers' strategic stop because of the big die-off they had related to some kind of algae ingestion or something. I don't really if they ever did come up with a firm idea, but they did wash ashore everywhere. So there is different treatment. Let's say these people are required above the bridge tunnel. I have no problem with that either. If they're required to have them for 3 months a year, but I am privy to all the turtle training data, and most of the turtle training data has been on the western shore. So maybe they do keep modified leaders for longer periods of time on the eastern shore, like Mr. Hayden. I don't know. But, I mean, you know, we're having quite a bit of turtle stranding in September that used to not occur. Used to be a little spike, and I could count for that, but I'm not going to. But, you know, now it's become quite a bit. Of course, the population has expanded. I do think it's a good idea to move forward with the overall set.
Further comments? Well, I do know personally that I think it's a good idea, but Secretary Bryant, being interested in a lot of different aspects of course, his job, is very, very interested in this and very supportive of this program as well, so I thought it would be important that I convey that as well. Motion's been made and seconded. The matter's before the commission. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? This motion carries unanimously. Thank you all very much. Lewis, good job.